You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we move on to the uncertainty that exists. We just looked at the fact that there are some things you cannot control and you need to prepare for those things. And along with that preparation comes understanding what uncertainty looks like, or at least understanding how investors are viewing uncertainty. I'm joined on the line by Professor Raymond Parsons of the Northwest University School of Business and Governance to take a look at the latest data that's come out of the uncertainty index that they put together. Good evening, Prof. Parsons. Thanks so much for taking the time. Tell us about the uncertainty index. What is it and what does it measure?
Yes, good evening to you. Well, just let me sum it up quickly. We decided a few years ago that the issue of policy uncertainty was such a dominant theme in all the debate about the South African economy in particular that we needed to find a way to be able to calibrate it. So we then designed, looking at some of the global experience, where there are indices of this nature in quite a few other countries. We then put together our policy uncertainty index, which is a quarterly index, which looks at how much media coverage there is on where the words uncertainty, economic uncertainty, policy uncertainty occur. We then have a group of economists who fill in a questionnaire about uncertainty. And then we also tap into a survey at the University of Stellenbosch, which looks at respondents from the manufacturing sector on how they see uncertainty on the political or on the policy side. So we've now put that together over the past few years, and it is the most recent one, of course, has covered a watershed quarter, which is the second quarter of this year, with all the events and the perceptions leading up to our watershed election.
Prof. Parsons, let's look at the data points for Q2. Obviously, this is an extensive collection or collation of information, and it clearly takes a lot to put together. What did the data for Q2 suggest?
Well, I think what it does, it simply says to us, look, that although our index has been in negative territory for other reasons for some time, it's quite clearly it spiked and it certainly escalated very much in the second quarter under the impact of the uncertainties around, as I said, a watershed election where no one has ever been before and no one quite knew where the chips would fall. So the markets and business took a very precautionary stance leading up to the election. And then, of course, once we got the election, and the immediate outcome where no party got a majority, that too was a source of uncertainty. But then once again, once the process of the government of national unity began to get underway, you have noticed that, of course, that the rand improved, there was a greater demand for our bonds and so forth. And these are the kinds of things that the index tries to calibrate from quarter to quarter, and it gives, I think, all decision makers, whether in the government or the private sector, an additional instrument by which they can assess the economic environment and the levels of uncertainty which will affect, in particular, the decisions that markets, businessmen, and investors take.
Prof. Parsons, one of the things that wasn't fully captured, and you've alluded to this, of course, is the Government of National Unity. The full impact of that wasn't able to be captured in Q2's data, but certainly when you put out the report for the third quarter, I imagine a lot of the things that were left up in the air around uncertainty would have come through into that data. Do you expect that there will be a significant move in how that data translates in quarter three, depending on the composition of the Government of National Unity?
Well, no, that's a very important point, because that's the next watershed after the actual election and its outcome itself and the preceding 3 months. We're now facing the next watershed decision. What will the cabinet look like? Will it be fit for purpose? That is, given what the message of that election was, leaving ideology on one side, that the message of that election was a strong instruction to deliver, to say to the political leadership, you must create an environment and implement what is needed in order to be able to deliver. And so I think the next threshold will be, as you rightly say, what will the cabinet look like? And in particular, I think the markets and business will want to look at the economic cluster in the cabinet. Do they inspire confidence? Are they people who are going to be on top of things? Of course, it is going to be the outcome of some serious negotiations which are going on at the moment. But at the end of the day, that the bottom line is once the markets and business look at the composition of the cabinet, they'll say, well, is this the cabinet that is going to turn the economy around, that is going to address the very issues that caused the outcome of the election, where there is discontent about our economic performance, about employment and about business confidence, all those things that we want to see done. And the important point here will also be then, once you know who's in the cabinet, what instruments are they going to use in order to implement? And I think the point we've made in our survey now, we don't have to reinvent too many wheels. I mean, there's Operation Vulindlela, which is doing good work on the infrastructural front. We've got that cooperation between government and business in the fields of energy, logistics, and of course, crime and punishment, which needs to be expedited. And then, of course, we've got the National Development Plan. So I think the important point is, once the political haggling is over, you want to see a team that can take hold of these instruments and begin to make a difference to create a bigger, stronger, and better economy than we have at the moment.
Prof, what about international or global uncertainty? How is that factoring in into the South African picture? We've definitely seen where risk sentiment starts to weigh heavily on things like emerging markets. South Africa is on the receiving end of that. What do we make of the global uncertainty that exists now with the wars and the tensions and the interest rates and all of those?
That's very important, because remember, we're a small open economy. But we have a vested interest in the global economy, because we want to trade. We want them to invest in South Africa. So we want a benign world economy. But we must understand that as a small open economy, we cannot control what happens in the global economy. If there are shocks, we have to adjust to them. We have to manage them so that we can protect our interests. What the message is, that if you want to be a full participant in a changing global economy with its strong points and its shocks, the message is you must nonetheless run your own economy in such a way that you then minimize the domestic uncertainty. In other words, those factors over which you have control are your domestic policies, how you run your economy, keeping your house in order, so that you can say, right, we as a government of national unity, who want to fix this economy, but we're going to do it in a way to say to the world that whatever is happening out there, South Africa is open for business. And I think that's the most important challenge that our government of national unity now faces, is to be able to send out a confidence-building message to the markets and to the business. We're going to do things differently and better in future.
That confidence building message, when we send that out to the global economy, at the moment where we stand right now, are we more worried than we should be, or are we just worried enough?
Well, I think we need to take note, as I said earlier, of the fact that we are part of a global economy which has certain geopolitical tensions. There are also some underlying changes and shifts happening in the global economy that say to us, once again, we must ensure that we are globally competitive, so that we have a competitive economy which reduces the cost of doing business here in ways that keep us globally competitive, and that whatever changes are happening in the global economy, we will maximize our opportunities to be able to take advantage of it. In other words, what we want to do is, by by organizing our economy in an efficient and a capable way, we can maximize our share of world trade and, of course, world investment, because that's an important part of what we need in order to get a bigger, stronger, and a better economy. One of the things that our government of national unity is inheriting is a growth rate of roughly 1 to 1.2% this year and perhaps in the next few years. That's obviously not good enough. And that's one of the reasons why we really have to ensure that once we have decided what the new cabinet is going to look like, we will ensure that good economics will be underpinned by good politics. That is the long-run thing that we are now looking for.
We can certainly reduce the uncertainty by simply getting the small things right. We'll leave it at that, Prof. Thanks so much for those insights. Professor Raymond Parsons of the Northwest University School of Business and Governance.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.